30, please.
Item number 30 from the manager of the Employees Retirement System, Department of Human Resources, requesting authorization to amend Section 201.24 sub 311 of the Milwaukee County Code of General Ordinances to clarify the criteria of terminated employee contribution refunds, allow additional time to make informed decisions, and ease the administrative process by the Employees Retirement System. This item has also been referred to the Pension Study Commission.
Okay, I see Deputy Corporation Counsel Grady, Administrator Hanschek, and Manager Miniman. Would you like to proceed?
Good afternoon, Supervisor, Chairman. Basically, what the amended ordinance would allow is a change from the 60 to 180 days. We are getting a lot of appeals at the pension board level, which there's no recourse to grant the appeal for the refunds. We think that by increasing the time to withdraw to 180 days would give our office time to notify the employees and give them time to advise with their financial advisors on what they want to do with the refund, if it's a good idea to refund the money or not. It would require the retirement office to provide written notice to the employees so that they are aware that they do have the opportunity to request a refund, and it also would limit the refund option to those members who are non-vested.
Thank you. Any comments, questions regarding the report and the resolution?
Mr. Chairman.
Supervisor Coleman.
I think we had some discussion about this issue when we were setting the agenda. Could you just refresh my recollection and bring some of the other committee members up to date on the issue we talked about with people who would have left county service and who are not vested in their ability to get their money in case of a catastrophic incident?
The non-vested members, right now, vested and non-vested members have the option to request a refund. A non-vested member, if they leave the funds in, if they come back to county service within a five-year period, would have the opportunity to continue their vesting where they left off. Once the funds are withdrawn, they lose any opportunity. The service credits are gone, so they lose the opportunity to, the vested members lose the opportunity to collect a pension when they reach the normal retirement age, and any non-vested, then if they do come back to county service, are starting from square one on their vesting again. There is no provisions right now for catastrophic.
Well, Mr. Chair, I mean, maybe I could try to sort of restate the question and restate the issue that came up. Before employees were required to put anything in their pension, this wasn't a big issue. Well, now we have some employees who are putting something in their pension. So if you get a person who's worked for the county for, I don't know, 3 years, and they have money in there, and feel free to correct me if I'm wrong with any of the scenario, and then they aren't vested and they leave, and something, but the 180 days goes, and they find out that they have terminal cancer, and they got 6 months to live. They then cannot even get their money out anymore. So, you know, they viewed it as, I think there was an actuarial issue with that, and some, I mean, I may not be stating it clearly, but that was sort of how I understood it.
Mr. Grady?
I think, just to clarify, I think you misstated one thing. What you're talking about is someone who is vested and leaves.
Okay.
If they're not vested and they leave, they don't have any benefit,
okay,
and they don't request a refund, the money stays in the plan. They're never going to get a benefit. They would never get a refund in those situations. I think what you're talking about is someone who works here, let's say, 7 years. They vest after five, leave employment at age 35, and something happens to them at age 50 before they can collect a pension, and they get no pension benefit out of the system. They never have. That's the way the system has always operated. And they don't get a refund, or their estate doesn't get a refund. And so the idea being, it's much like life insurance, the way the system works, is that there are winners and losers. And, you know, if you pay a premium for life insurance, you may or may not have made a good deal depending on what happens in terms of a financial good deal, in terms of what happens. And the same system is true here. That even before refunds, or even before member contributions, one of the small ways, it's a small thing, but one of the small ways the system helps fund itself is through people who never collect a benefit. It's a small thing that happens, but people who work here 3 or 4 years, they never collect a benefit. People who work here longer but then die before they get to age 60, you know, work here longer, leave, but then die before they hit age 60 or the normal retirement age and never collect a benefit. So those inure to the benefit of the larger fund and the rest of the system and decrease the contributions to the county and the employees in the future. That's obviously a policy choice, and I'm not, but that's how it works. And so I don't know that the actuarial effect is large. I'm not trying to portray it as a large actuarial effect, but there is an actuarial effect from that. The thought, I think, in the draft was to protect employees from making, maybe not in 100% of the cases, but in many cases, a bad financial decision. I've got some debts, I've got some credit card bills, I've got whatever. I'm going to take this money, it's there, and I'm going to take it out as a refund and give up my pension. And so the thought was, you know, in certain situations, like the one Supervisor Cullen mentions, it may be a logical decision to do that. But in a lot of other situations, it's not. And so the thought was to protect people from themselves, quite frankly.
Oh, sure.
And thank you. You did a far better job explaining that than I did. But the issue is, previously, people weren't putting their own money into the pension.
Right.
So you have that person who's worked for 7 years, left at 35, and I understand the need to tell that 35-year-old, don't take this pension money out. It's, as you said earlier, being somewhat paternalistic. But then you get to 50, and if we close, I don't mind closing the window for a healthy individual, but if someone at 50 finds out that they have a terminal illness, and they say, well, I at least want my family, myself, to be able to get out the money that I put in when I worked there from age 27 to 35, because nobody's going to get anything. Again, that's a very small number of people. And previously, when that was put in, the idea of winners and losers, people weren't putting their own money in. Well, now they are. So I guess I would prefer if there could be some language to, and I don't have it or haven't thought about it enough, to protect people in those kind of very, very limited situations. Because, you know, that's what might happen to some of these people. So that's a concern I have with this, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Supervisor. Mr. Gregg.
Mr. Chairman, I don't know if this would be an answer for Supervisor Collins' issue or not. One possibility that we have talked about is the possibility of not allowing people to withdraw their refunds in that situation while they're alive, but allowing refunds to be paid to their estates should they die in that situation. And so,
Mr. Chair, I don't want to create like an administrative nightmare where somebody's got to watch death notices.
We do that anyway.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah,
but I mean, and then figure out, is this person getting it or this person not? I mean, I think the burden should be, I think the burden should be on the employee, not the employer, to do this if that situation arises. And I, you know, so. Yeah.
Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead, sir.
What I would caution against is the administrative difficulty for the staff and the pension board in that situation, because obviously there's going to be clear-cut situations, but if you have somebody who comes in and says, I've been given a diagnosis or of this or that, or it's a slippery slope argument,
yeah,
is what I'm going to give you here, is that it gets grayer and grayer around the edges, and you have to, the pension board probably would have to review each one of those individually. It takes time, obviously, and something like I suggested a minute ago doesn't have any administrative issue, or not nearly as much administrative issue. There's no discretion involved. It's just if someone dies while they're in deferred vested status, we pay out the member contributions to the estate. And so they do get their money back. They don't get it while they're alive, but someone gets their money back in that sense. So it's an easier, cleaner solution. But obviously, we can write it the other way.
I think that's a good suggestion. And I don't know what we want to do with this item now, or fix it between now and board day,
well,
or something like that.
We have an amendment ready. We can prepare for you for the next. You could put it on your agenda tomorrow. You could put it on your agenda on Tuesday, or you can wait a month, I guess, if you want to do that.
Have you contacted staff with respect to this amendment?
Does staff? Or
staff has been contacted?
No. You're the board staff?
Yeah.
No, we have. It was drafted by outside counsel. We came prepared with several alternatives, this being one of them.
Would it be a significant burden if we just did this next month to you, and just so that everybody had a chance to look at it and review it? And people, I mean, this committee has been kind of overburdened with budget stuff, and nobody's thinking about this today, I'm telling you. So,
and the other thing is, as you mentioned that, excuse me, Chairman, I'm sorry. It's okay.
Supervisor Gritt.
Don't demote him.
Deputy Corporation Counsel Grady.
You won't get any steps.
Deputy Corporation Counsel Grady.
That raises a good point, and that is that if we change the proposal before us, we would have to get another actuarial report. It may be an insignificant actuarial number, but we still need another report, and so, which we don't have. We have the one for what's in front of us today, but we don't have another one. So another month probably is not the end of the world, as long as it gets done in the next cycle.
Mm-hmm. I guess, Mr. Chair, is it proper motion to lay this item over till next month?
Yes.
And that would be my motion.
Supervisor Cullen moves layover.
To the next cycle.
Supervisor Cullen moves layover to the December cycle.
Mr. Chair.
Supervisor Lipscomb.
Can I request that we receive all of the alternatives? You said there were several drafts or alternatives. I wouldn't mind seeing them all. I'd like to know what the options are rather than just whatever one comes forward.
Mr. Chairman, if I can, I just give you a quick synopsis, and then if you still want them, that's fine. But the discussion that came at agenda setting was over the deferred vesteds, whether or not they should get a refund or not. And so we had an option that would allow for deferred vesteds. It's not what we're recommending, but because that was asked, we had that. We had an option that allows for the payment of the benefit to a beneficiary upon death of a deferred vested, and then the various combinations of those two.
Okay.
So, Supervisor Lipscomb, which, of course, we would. You don't get your packet until
right.
a couple
that's
days before.
I'd be happy to talk to you offline if that's what.
So, yeah, if there are drafts, I wouldn't mind seeing the options.
Okay. Would that be for just you or for the rest of the committee?
Others want it? Fine. Aye.
Well, Mr. Grady and staff, you will come up with the time to forward this information to us. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. We have a motion to lay over to the December cycle, item number 30. Comments, questions? Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Supervisors Haas?
Aye.
Schmidt?
Aye.
Roma West?
Aye.
Lipscomb?
Aye.
Bowen?
Aye.
Stamper?
Aye.
Cullen?
Aye.
Mr. Chair?
Aye.
8 ayes, 0 noes. The motion to lay this item over one cycle is approved.